Oh, with that introduction.
I did. You only started supposed to start at 11. So
there you go.
I had a.
There you go. Dun, 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 dun. Didn't you like me without the microphone better? Good morning, everyone. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you so much, church. And thank you for allowing me to put on a suit. I did this to honor my dear friend. Oh, gosh. Don't take a picture of this. Gosh. But I love wearing a suit, but I don't wear it much. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Richard and Cindy. They've been dear friends of my wife, Cheryl, and our three children and myself for longer than sometimes we'd like to say, but we've been friends since the late 80s. I met Rich in a little Bible study on a Wednesday night at First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, and we became great friends. And then I was able to meet his wife, and as his children grew up, it was a whole lot better to be around his wife and children, as you know, knowing your pastor. So, but our three children and their three friends forever and ever, and a great relationship over many years of growing up in the Lord, growing up in church, growing up as Rich was saying yesterday at lunch, that's all we knew. In Christ, we hung out with each other. In Christ, we did things together. In Christ, we shared stories and grew up in Christ, in the Word of God, and so very, very thankful. Thank you again, First Bible Baptist Church of Lancaster, New York. Isn't that funny? First Bible Baptist Church. So when you put up that first slide there, you'll see that for our message today, if it's up there, bam, that's your cue. That's like an introduction. Bam, there you go. Boom. Bam. Do you have a clicker at all or something? Or so you guys, that's it. There's the message right there. Praise the Lord. Just as I... Just kidding. There we go. Anyway, turn to Galatians chapter number 3. Your conference theme, your statement for 7 years, I believe, is begin finishing well. And with Richard's introduction, which is very, very kind. And whatever good is found in us, of course, is found because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at that. You guys are on top. This is like the A-team. Way to go. Look at that. So if you go back, begin finishing well, see the little logo right at the bottom, First Bible Baptist Church. That's yours, right? But, of course, the name in our church is First Bible Baptist Church. And I have been honored and privileged to be in that ministry for a number of years. I'll share different parts of that. I've been in Blue Springs, Missouri for 21 years. My wife and three children moved out of Rochester in 1998, and went there to learn, to grow, to be trained in another step, in another progression of sanctification and ministry. And that was a tough time to leave, but a good time to leave. And when we packed up our whole life, and I think a 16-foot, yeah, it was the smallest moving vehicle ever for a family of five. It was right to the top. Everything was there. When we opened it up in Blue Springs to unload it, nothing moved. It was all so tight in there. We didn't have, we had everything we needed, I guess is just the way to say it. But anyway, from 1998 to now, we have been part of a ministry there, just as I said, growing and thriving and whatever God would have to have us to do. But Blue Springs, Missouri is a suburb of Kansas City, about 55,000 people, give or take. When we moved there, there was about 45 to 46,000. So it's a growing community. It has been growing. It's known for its education and sports and things like that. We have a a location that's quite unique in Blue Springs for our church building, with a sports park and many other things, and it's right across the street from a high school, which is really kind of neat, Blue Springs South High School. I heard that's kind of a neat place to be. And so in 2002, I was ordained. And at that point, a lot of things changed. I went on staff as a full-time pastor, whatever that means, but full-time ministry, whatever, however you want to say that. But Richard preached the message for my ordination, 2002. And he doesn't think I pay attention, but I did, and I do. Richard gave me a Bible in 1998 when I left that I used for so many years. And I'd like to say it fell apart because I used it so much. We all like to say that, but it wore out just because of time. But I still use a Bible of that ilk, which is from Milford, Ohio. And Bearing Precious Seed Bibles, I like them a lot. I wish they'd make their paper a little bit thicker. But anyway, just aren't I a baby, like a sissy little American whining? It's the Word of God. Come on. But from 2002 to now, simple ministry history. And ordained in 2002, as I said, but I was the youth pastor, as we affectionately call people that are in youth ministry, the youth guy. My wife and I minister in the youth. Our three children, unfortunately for them, had only one youth pastor over all the years, and that was me. And Christine, her last year, my youngest daughter, she had someone different. They booted me to the curb. Then I became a little bit more involved in other things in our ministry. And then in 2012, through some trying times, and I'll mention a little bit of that in our messages the next couple of days, but the message of began finishing well came to the surface in that place in 2012. I was the interim pastor for 6 months, and through that transition time, the pastor search group of men decided that from God that I would be the man that they would choose in the name of Jesus to be the lead pastor. So I've been the lead pastor since July 1st, 2012. And they had a vote on that after things, and there was, I was 97.5% voted. I'm very angry about that other 2.5%. I've looked for all of those people and dealt with them biblically, and that's not part of beginning finishing. We have quite a ministry. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his word. And so I'm thankful. And enough of that. In this series that we'll speak about the next couple of days, this morning, this evening, Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to walk into and out of some very personal things. But I'm also going to walk in and out of the person of Jesus Christ and his word and what he means. We're going to use Galatians chapter number 3 this morning. And the title of our message is Promised. We're going to read the scripture here in a moment. And if you'll notice in this passage of scripture in chapter number 3, the word promise or promises is mentioned 9 times. The promise of God to Abraham centuries before, that promise was not relegated to the Old Testament law, correct? His promise was for the Redeemer. His promise was for salvation by his grace, putting faith in the one that was going to be sent one day. You see, God promised aforetime. God knew what the sinner, the one he created us, would need. We would need the Savior for salvation, for that redemption, for our reconciliation to God through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot move forward to doing anything well until we are reminded of God's promise, what he's promised to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and our salvation. So let me just ask you something. What is it about promises? What is it about promises that you and I really understand? Before we read this text, I just want you to think for a little bit. Promises, we have all made them. And we have all been promised something. Think about the promises that you have made to people. On December 14th, I had the honor of doing a wedding. Seems like people are getting married all the time. I think it's a good thing. In that wedding, I asked them to repeat after me the vow that they would say to one another. They made a vow before God and the witnesses, and they said, I do. Then they made vows to one another, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. Spousal vows and covenant I'm making before God and these witnesses. And then the vow of the ring. With this ring I thee wed. I promise to love you in sickness and everything, no matter what. Now, this is where you each make $100 per answer. Okay? Okay? Just kidding. But you tell me, what is something God promised you? Enough about the earthly covenant promises that we make to one another that many of us have broken, so many of them. But what about God's promises? What is something God's promised that you believed on and then he came through? Give me an example of one. Somebody. His peace. And he's come through? Romans chapter number 5. Peace with God. Also, Philippians 4, peace of God. Yes. Salvation. His salvation. He came through, didn't he? Right away. Changed your life immediately. What else? God's promises. Come on. Pardon me? Life. Eternal life. A promise from God that we will know one day. None of us, though, have experienced that yet in eternity. I've heard that no one's come back, though you can read some books, and I'm not so sure that those are very accurate. What else? Promises of God. Healing. And he's come through. He says he will. Ooh, that's a big one. God hasn't. Oh, I hate when someone takes my answer. Don't you? Go. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes? What else? Give me another one. A promise of God that he has come through on. Woo. Not there yet. There you go. He told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. In my house there are many mansions. That might be a really good place to go. I hear that it's really good there. The promises of God. God promised something to you and me through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in my son, I will make a covenant. And in that covenant, it'll wipe away all that you believe that you had to do to follow the law, to fulfill the law. Because my son will come to fulfill all the law. And in him, you will be justified by faith for salvation. In him, your salvation will be kept after salvation. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 15. Follow along with me as we read our passage of scripture and allow me to make a few points and then intertwine and hear some personal life story. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Very simply, man messes things up, but no man can cancel or disannul God's covenant. It says in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, and as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. God gave Abraham the promise even before the law. That 430 years, it seems to not really mesh. I'm not going to explain it to you today. You're going to ask your pastor, and he will take care of that for you. But when you add up the years of Abraham and God speaking directly to him, to the time when Moses is given the law, it's not quite the same amount of years. But understand this, God also in Genesis 46 visited with somebody by the name of Jacob to reiterate the covenant. So keep that in mind as you process what God's saying here in his word to understand, hey, God gave it to Abraham by promise, and he didn't have to, well, let me send an angel, let me send a prophet, he spoke directly to Abraham when he promised him what he promised him. Verse number 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God didn't need to send, again, a bunch of other people to handle this for him. He went one-on-one to Abraham, just like he went one-on-one to you with the word of God. You think about it. From the moment of Abraham and how he gave him, and this is the historical context and what doctrine is laid before you, you understand that God did not need any mediators to get his word across directly to Abraham. Paul the Apostle, as he's speaking to the churches in this area of Galatia and understand and making them understand, hey, don't ever think that God doesn't want to be personal with you, because he became very personal to you in his promise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, he continues in this statement, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I sure hope, even though it's not verbal, there's a lot of like amen, thank you, God stuff going inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God in you, believer, should go, wow, my salvation is in Jesus Christ. But before faith came, we kept under the law, shut up in the faith. Wherefore the law is a schoolmaster to bring us under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Whew. That's a mouthful. But it's the promise. God promised. God came through. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Lord, for the next few moments, we want to make personal application in the name of Jesus by the power of your Spirit. So please teach us your word. Please reveal to us the things that matter most unto you. We want to give you glory and honor. We thank you for how you've promised us what we have in the body of Christ. And I pray that you will honor your word in a very special way. Get a hold of our hearts and awake us into our precious salvation so that we may begin finishing well as 2019 closes out and 2020 comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that verse but the scripture have concluded all under sin. Yes, no question, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, how many of you were lost before you were saved? Wow. Smartest class ever. I was born in a town called Bellows Falls, Vermont. Raised in a town, North Walpole, New Hampshire. That makes absolutely no sense. North Walpole. North Wampole. Walpole. The reason I was born in Vermont, even though my family lived in New Hampshire, is the closest hospital to be born in was Bellows Falls, Vermont, right across the Connecticut River. All of you geometry people, haha, geography, know that there's a river that separates New Hampshire and Vermont, the Connecticut River. We're all confused over there in New England, believe me. I went to a prep school in Connecticut. I went to college in Massachusetts. I was born in Vermont. I was raised in New Hampshire. I'm so confused. There was only one church in the town that I grew up in, St. Peter's Catholic Church. We all went to church there. Did many of you grow up in a Roman Catholic background? Some of you, a few of you. I was told so very much and taught so very much. I was a religious person. I went to church a lot. As I grew older, I realized that the promises that I was given by the leadership of my religion were often broken. They didn't seem to matter. Though when I would confront that, I was told, thus saith the Lord. You grow up in a culture like that, young person, sounds good. God loves me. I love him back. He'll love me even more if I do certain things. God is going to be a conditional God. That's the way I was taught. Many of you may have been taught this. Obey the law. Do what's right. You might have a shot of being in heaven one day. God's going to take everything that you've ever done. He's going to put it on a scale. He's going to weigh it. And hopefully I've done enough on the good side to earn God's favor somehow, because you can earn grace, correct? No. For by grace are you saved through faith, correct? Not of yourselves, but the gift of God. A lot of works, lest any man should boast. As my years went on, prep school, college years, I ran from that, even though that was the only religious truth I knew. I ran from God and went after some of the things that I thought were more important. I was never ever told that that was a bad thing. In fact, my promises back to God were, God, if you do this, I'll do this. I learned, didn't I? I was discipled well in conditional salvation, in conditional love. I was discipled well in promises that need not to have to be, but if I wanted to get something from them, they had to be. The promised part of my life was as broken down in the religious universe as it is in you and me, understanding how broken we are before God, before Jesus Christ came to save us. I went on a hunt. I went on a look. I went on a look for God, and my God became a baseball. I was pretty good at it. In 1980, I was drafted in the 6th round by the Baltimore Orioles. To put that in perspective, there was almost 70 rounds of draft picks that year. Around that time, there were 24 people that were drafted in each round, you all being mathematical geniuses. I heard you have a short business meeting after church, so this is just you're ready. You're just kind of getting you ready. Keep your pastor on his toes. But here's how this goes. If you worship something, you bow down to it. You make promises to it. I made so many deals with baseball, I added God into it because I wanted something in return. Promises oftentimes on this earth are done with the condition that you will receive something. Is that God's way? You see, I was lied to, and I bought every single bit of it when it came to how God promised. I believed that God promised conditionally upon my behavior, upon my devotion, upon my actions. 1983, after a few years, I got to Major League spring training camp. I thought that with the Baltimore Orioles, I was going to make it. I got sent down to play in Rochester with the Red Wings. At that time, they were the Baltimore Orioles. Now they're the Minnesota Twins, interestingly enough. Both organizations I played for, because I later played for the Twinkies. By the way, I only wanted to play for the Twins so that I could play in Toledo and be a mudhead. But, you know, who would want to be a mudhead? I still don't know what a mudhead is. But here's how this goes. My arm got messed up while I was pitching in Rochester. I started going to Bible studies just to search out something because I was a mess. Conditionally, I was saying, God, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. God fixed my arm. Little did I know when somebody named George Grace, by way of a man named Mike Metzger, handed me a Bible and said, take this and read it. Whoop-de-doo, I thought. I turned to Mike Metzger. I said, Mike, what should I read? He said, why don't you read the book of Romans? I said, where's that? He said, well, let me show you. And I began to read the Bible on my own, secretive, while I was still running my life, running a really crazy, sin-filled life. But this is what happened. Go to Romans chapter number 4. I didn't bring that Bible with me. I considered doing that. It's an old Bible still sitting on my shelf. It's got so many memories in it. But see, things like Romans chapter number 3, chapter number 4. When God says in His Word, there's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter number 4, you see these things that are spoken of that I just read earlier about how Abraham was justified by faith and God counted him righteous and he was forgiven. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was just mentioned by my brother earlier. It says in Romans chapter number 5, after that number 4 promise on how God was talking about Abraham and his covenant, he said, for when we were yet without strength in due time, in verse number 6, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. This blew me away. Not many will give their life for anything. Why would God give his life for someone who rejected him? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10 says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled. I remember reading this as a lost man and going, oh my gosh, I'm wicked, I'm rotten. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. If I went back and showed you that little Bible that I had that was given to me in reading, I wrote notes in there as a lost man speaking of what God was showing me and his promise if I would just give my heart and my life and bow my knee to him and say, as it says in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all of that, go back to Galatians chapter number 3, led to a place where the Word of God, the Bible that I had never read in my life, resonated truth from God, his promises, resonated truth for me, a sinner who was lost that needed reconciliation with God and understanding his promises. God promised so much. Let me walk through this for just for a few minutes. in this little simple Bible lesson. God promised. Remember when you called on the name of the Lord? Do you remember when you finally knew you needed a Savior and you really meant it? You meant it in your mind, you meant it in your heart, you meant it in your soul, you meant it in your every bit of your being. Say, God, I don't deserve it, but would you please save me? Please forgive me. I want to take you back there. And be reminded that the law cannot change what God promised. See, real quick, you might think, just like the nation of Israel, that after God redeemed that people out of Egypt, it would be much better if I could just go back there for a while and live in Egypt. Oh my. God promised a much better life for you and me in Jesus. But somehow, some way, we've forgotten the promise that He made and we want to go back underneath the bondage of the law, our own self-righteous religious law. Do a few good things, God will be good to me, everything will be fine. That's not the way that He wants you to live in Jesus Christ, by His promises. Those little books, God's Promise for Every Need. Some of those are, but when the ones that are written really, you look in the front, you go on the page, you go, okay, when I'm going through temptation to such and such, look up 20 Bible verses. Oh, I love that. When I'm doubting whether or not God really there, I could go look up a bunch of Bible verses. When I have fear, when I have wonderment, when I'm wondering if God's promises are really true, I can go look up and see in the Bible. But you and I sometimes forget that the law cannot change His promise. We're stuck. We're stuck thinking that the law is still vital to who we can be and what we ought to do in our walk with the Lord. But He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to the seeds and of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Totally and completely Christ. And this I say, verse 17, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Very simply, you are saved, born again by the promise of God. Stop believing that you need to go backwards. It's time to go forwards in the promise of God for every single day. Just as He did the moment that you got saved and He came through in that perfect promise of your salvation. God promised. The law cannot change that. God promised also, nothing in the law is greater. There's nothing better, but you and I keep on somehow believing that it's better to go back to something that's lesser. We live in a time and a culture of superlatives. This is greater. This is the greatest. You can do great things. God is great. But we somehow believe the law that we lived under, the bondage of our self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, self, is better or greater, like this law might be supposed to be, but the law is not greater. There's nothing in the law that is greater. God promised that. He says in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Thou, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Hey, God says here, right here, nothing greater than my promises. Nothing greater than what I've given you in Jesus Christ. Nothing greater. So why are we looking for greatness or greater comparatively in so many other things? Well, God says, I promised you better. You want a great, great study in the Bible? Look up the word better. go to the book of Hebrews and have a neat little time and understand what you have better, the better tabernacle, the better covenant. The law is not better. It's not greater. You say, well, I know that. Then why do you and I live like we're still under the law? The law is for the parameters by which it reminds us that we are sinners that need a Savior. Praise ye the Lord. Romans says, are we going to throw the law out? God forbid, we're not throwing it out. But why are you and I attempting to live by it to gain God's favor when God says you're free? Now live as though you are in Christ who fulfilled all the law. That's when you'll desire the things of God. And you won't have to be told whether you did or didn't. You just look here in the Word of God and He'll tell you. Right here. This is my way according to my promises. Hey, the third thought real quick. Walking right through these quickly. Just a simple Bible lesson. And we're going to tie it all together here in a couple minutes. God promised through the law we are pointed to Jesus. All the law did was point everything, preparing the way for Jesus Christ. It says there in verse number 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For it there had been a law given which could have given life. Verily, righteousness would have come what? By the law. But Scripture concluded all under sin that the promise, verse 22, by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All fulfilled. Faith. 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 Now, before Jesus Christ died, of course there was the Old Testament. Before Jesus Christ died. But God said, I'm going to give you this to point you to Jesus, to remind you that you can't fulfill it. I'm giving you, though, parameters by which, hey, you need to grow up. Just like when moms take care of their children, they need some wampins. They need to be reminded there's some rules until they get to a point where they can recognize on their own, now I know why mom and dad kept me in this lane. Because they didn't want me to step out so far in that lane that I might reject Jesus Christ and what He's done. Why mom and dad's, why God's here, let me give you this law so that it can be the parameters, but I want to point you to the one that fulfilled the law, that's Jesus Christ. You and I in our salvation, I believe if we would just study and just spend maybe about 10 years of our walk with the Lord, understanding what we have in salvation, it might be a little different in our approach to our daily walk. Do you know really what you have in Jesus Christ? In salvation. Not having your pastor tell you everything, but rather you personally looking and seeing, wow, everything points to Jesus. The law points to Jesus. We know that we were prepared and everything was pointing to Him. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, verse 24, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I thank God for my parents putting me in a church where I learned some things that were religious. I know that if I followed after that, it would lead me to hell because it would lead me to a I need to earn my way to heaven understanding. I get that. But boy, was I taught some good principles. And it was the schoolmaster, and they accidentally, on purpose, put me in front of the law and the schoolmaster that it led me to Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for your grace. But it could have led me to hell as well. The last few verses of this chapter, God promised. And here's how it all comes together. It says there in verse number 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Woohoo! That was just woohoo! As many as you, as many as us in Christ. We are free, and we are immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. We're baptized. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4 real quick. Verse number 1, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, Paul says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's part of what the church body does. There is one body, verse number 4. I love this. In one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto you, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We are one. Jesus Christ, God promised, would free us from the law that binds us. So now we're all one in His body, in His church. One baptism, immersed in the Spirit, by the Word of God, understanding the promises of God and saying, okay, God, if you promise that, wow. 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 As God promised, He would take care of as many as received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. He said, I'll take care of you as my child. In John chapter 1. He said, church, that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace means in the body of Christ, we are one together. It's that covenant bond. It's that promise of God. It's what He promised to you and me together in His salvation. By His grace, are you saved through faith? July 15th, 1983, I called out to God to save me. I left a pile of sin in a parking lot in Tidewater, Virginia. I walked away from that really weird feeling, really different, clean, free. Close your eyes and remember that moment that you called out to the name of Jesus to save you. Do you remember what happened instantaneously in that moment? Do you remember how you, by His promise, were saved? You cannot begin to finish well with all that this world is going to throw at you if you forget about what He did for you by His promise. His promise with Abraham that He would make you righteous by faith in the one that He would send that would be on the cross, be buried in a borrowed tomb and raised on the third day, and that you would be counted righteous in Jesus Christ, justified. So how in the world can you move forward and really get stronger in the Lord if you and I go back to wanting the law to dictate our lives instead of the law being something that you know confirms what you have in Jesus Christ by His promises? When you open up that Bible, you realize, wow, it's all right there. It might take you a few decades to get a handle on it. It's okay. Why don't you start now? But each time you open up the Word, reference what He did by His promise to save your soul and change your eternal destiny and forgive you of sin. I believe many of the places in which we are weak as the body of Christ and His church is that we've forgotten the promise of God that He gave to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the book of Galatians hammers out really beautifully, and Romans, and so many other New Testament writings. There it is. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. What God promised us in salvation by grace. Is the freedom from religion. Freedom from the law. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from death. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the power of this world. Freedom from yourself. Freedom from idolatry. He has freed us by His promise. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. People say, I bet you can't wait to see your daughter. Yeah. But I can't wait to see Jesus Christ. He's the one that causes me and should cause all of you to finish well. God promised salvation. It says up there, by faith of Jesus Christ. That is a freeing faith to begin finishing well. I ask you, if you would, please join me in a word of prayer as you bow your heads. Now I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I'm going to pray for you and pray with you and turn it over to your pastor. Begin finishing well. We spoke about your salvation today, God's promises for you today. Right out of the scriptures, right out of the Word of God, God taught us things. Has God taken you back to that place of your salvation? Just think about that for a moment. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Before I pray for you, pray with you. How many would say with an uplifted arm, I know I'm saved and I rejoice in the promise of God. Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your acknowledgement of God and His promise in Jesus. You can put your hands down. How many would say today then, my salvation is true and real, but boy, Pastor, I could use some prayer because to begin finishing well, sometimes I forget what God and His promise did for me in my salvation. And sometimes I get caught up in where the law takes me. Would you please pray for me in that area? With an uplifted hand, would you please raise your hand and say, please pray for me, Pastor. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, our Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. I come boldly, but I also come humbly. And I ask you, in this time of invitation, if there is anyone that couldn't raise their hand for salvation and understanding in their place what they have is the promise of God through Jesus Christ, I pray that God, you would draw and beckon their heart to come forward and deal with that today. And for those that have raised their hand and said, yes, I know I'm saved, but I get caught lagging in a place where I actually forget about the promises of God, and beginning to finish well has got to be something I desire to do, and I need to be reminded of my salvation. I pray you'd work on those hearts as well. God, in this time of invitation, have your way. Deal with your people. This is your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
We're not going to ask you to get up. We'll sing our invitation hymn, either for you or with you. We'll take time to pray. as we sing. If you need to pray instead of sing, do so. If you can sing for others and for yourself, do that as well. I'm here with my Bible. If you have any questions, you have any needs spiritually, I'll answer those. If there's a lady who needs counseling, I'll call somebody to help me up here front. John?